Greetings, and welcome to A Fireside Chat with Zany Mystic. I'm your host, Lance White. Tonight, my guest is Cameron Day. Cameron is a spiritual counselor, energy worker, artist, writer, and radio show host. He also connects with the spiritual and metaphysical energies, which he writes about on his blog. And in mid-2007, he began to get subtle messages from his higher self that he should do energy work again. He finally started listening in 2008 when he was very simply told, "You have a gift, share it." His website is his endeavor to directly share as much of his self-clearing knowledge as possible with everyone who is interested. He offers personalized one-on-one energy clearing sessions to directly help more people to embody inner peace and harmony. You can find his work, his blog, artwork, and more at www.ascensionhelp.com. So let's welcome him to the show now. Hi, Cameron. How are you?
I'm great, Lance. Thanks for having me.
Oh, I'm really thrilled to have you because the timing couldn't be more perfect. I was reading, I'm just kind of setting this up now. I was reading your recent blog post on January 18th called Q&A, The Final Act of the Ankle Biters, and I'll ask you to explain all that in a minute.
Sure.
And several of my closest friends have been going through astral and psychic and technotronic attacks, so myself included. So, in fact, before the show, I had to smudge and then take a shower and use some sea salt to clear the energy from the space. So we should have a good communication now. How did you get into this work, and could you tell us a little bit about what's going on here right now?
Okay. Let's start with the first question.
Okay.
How I got into it. Then we'll come back to what's going on right now because
okay,
they're kind of broad topics, both of them.
Right.
So how I got into it, well, basically this is what I incarnated to do in this lifetime. I chose parents who were Buddhists so that I could be raised outside of the standard Judeo-Christian models of religious indoctrination. The Buddhism has its own, you know, unique levels of indoctrination, but that's the direction that I chose, the pathway that I chose, so that I could have a little bit less interference. But you don't incarnate on planet Earth in this current era without, let's say, taking on some dark energies, because that's just what's currently in charge of the planet.
Right.
Yes,
that's been my experience as well.
Exactly. I mean, and everybody has.
Right.
So it doesn't matter how advanced or not that a being is before they incarnate. If you come back into the sandbox, you're playing by the rules that have been laid down by whoever's running the etheric environment here.
Right.
So I experienced a lot of flack from the beings that I call the ankle biters, and we'll come to that later. But essentially, the beings of darkness that are in control of this planet that want to keep humanity enslaved and cut off from their higher self and their true potential. And so I grew up with a lot of unusual circumstances, bizarre dreams, especially for, you know, an 8-year-old child to have the kind of dreams that I was having were very unusual. Especially considering that my day-to-day waking life was very pleasant. My parents were loving, and they supported me and encouraged me to, you know, express myself, and didn't really do a lot of the sit-down, shut-up type of control that you know, a lot of children go through.
Right.
But when I realized that the dream world was as real as this world, it was a pretty big breakthrough. I was in second grade when that occurred to me. And I also at that point realized that who I really was a much larger self that was essentially dreaming myself, in a sense, into this world. So that kind of blew my mind as an 8-year-old or 9-year-old. And that realization really became the foundation for what I would do later on in life.
Mm-hmm.
And so in, you know, we'll skip ahead and we'll skip a bunch of years and to about, let's say, 21 or so. And I started getting a renewed vigor for spiritual studies and yoga and various spiritual disciplines, meditation, of course, being one of them. And I encountered a woman who was doing energy clearing. And I asked her lots of questions, and she gave me lots of information, and then I would take that information and utilize it and give her my feedback on it. And she was pretty shocked because none of her other clients had ever done that. They'd always just said, okay, thanks, you know, I feel lighter, and I'll call you again when I don't feel light and I need more
right.
help. But I just picked it up and ran with it, and she was pretty impressed. So we teamed up and started working together, and then I worked with her for a couple of years doing a large amount of energy work on other people and kind of learning the ropes, learning the tools of the trade. And at a certain point, though, I had come to the realization, and this is now after a few years, that I had more work to do on myself in order to be able to offer the level of help that I wanted to be able to offer. So I stepped back from that arena and just did that. I just worked on myself, focused on clearing the ego perceptions that I had that I knew weren't really accurate, but at the same time were still forming a framework for how I perceive myself. And after a couple of years of doing that, things kind of mellowed out, and the work that I was doing in the IT sector was going quite well, and I kind of thought, well, maybe that was just a phase of my life, and I'll just do this type of work, and of course work on myself and my family and those that are closest to me. And then 2007 was one of the early nudges to begin doing this work publicly again. And like you read in my intro, 2008 was when I decided to really step back into it and go public again.
Okay. And so that's when you established your website and started actively working with other people on a public level?
Right. That would be my, I'd call it my reemergence.
Okay. All right. You mentioned in the latest blog post that we mentioned earlier, the January 18th post, that you have been doing energy work and studying the grid structures from the dark forces. And just for clarity, it is my own personal belief, or shall we say, from my own investigation, we are in a fallen or dark universe. So we're in a situation that isn't what we think it is. And you talk a bit about how long it's been going on, and this might bring up several different replies. But one of the threads that seems to keep coming up when we research what's been going on here goes back about 450,000 years ago to what the Sumerian tablets claim were the Anunnaki, and then there are other writings there's other information that suggests that this has to do with the creator gods that are running this particular sector of the universe, and that there have been galactic wars and Earth was fought over and it got won, and the winners weren't of the light. So could you add your perspective to what's going on and how long it's been going on here?
Yeah, the actual amount of time is tricky. And the reason for that is that when you view third density from a fourth density perspective, uh-huh. time is extremely different. And in fact, each density that you go up, you get further removed from any concept of linear time. So when viewing things psychically, you're essentially seeing them in a fourth density, let's say, perception within your mind that then gets translated to a third density understanding.
Uh-huh.
So that's I think, one of the reasons for the wide variance in numbers of years or how long it's been. I also am fairly certain that the length of years has been altered at different times in this planet's history, meaning how long it took to get around the sun. There's been some serious upheavals on this planet at during various epochs.
Mm-hmm.
And there's also been different levels of the invasion of darkness or the infection of darkness is one of the terms I like to use. So during various epochs, there would be a certain amount of, let's say, infection that occurred, but that the human immune system, the spiritual immune system, kept it in check to a certain degree.
And
then with successive waves of interventions or attacks or invasions from both third and fourth density negative beings, the situation got progressively worse and worse for humanity. Now, I'm not personally not a big, let's say, fan of the Sitchin timelines.
Okay.
Or translations. But, you know, that's simply my perspective on that.
Okay.
But what I've sussed out, because, you know, I always try to get the when is it, how long ago was it.
Right.
It tends to be, you know, ballpark type figures. But
right.
Let's just say an extremely long time ago, somewhere around 300,000 to 400,000 years ago, humanity was very different, and it hadn't yet been attacked, hadn't yet been infected. And then at a certain point, there was a planetary catastrophe that wounded or damaged the psyches of the remaining survivors enough that the infection of darkness from a fourth density could come in and get its little toehold. Then after that, there were third density raiders who came in at various points, attempting to enslave the population. And at a certain, after a certain number of those attempts, they were finally fully successful. And at that point, when they had enough control, enough dominion, they then all began altering the human genome to suit their purposes. And it wasn't just for physical slavery, because these beings on fourth density harvest low-frequency human energy, low-frequency human emotions, and that energy actually feeds them and fuels their technology. So they need that low-frequency energy generated by what is supposed to be a multidimensional being, and we are still multidimensional, even though those abilities and capacities have been largely closed off. We still exist in these other densities. So the more suffering that humanity goes through, the more of that low-frequency energy is generated to feed these beings. And that's really the agenda. That's the slavery. That's the gold that they were mining. The physical gold, I don't think that they really care. At least on fourth, I know on fourth density they don't care. Maybe there's third density underlings, let's say, who do have a use for that and technology. That makes perfect sense. But on fourth density, it's really all about gathering this low-frequency energy because they cannot feed off of the energies of love. They can't feed off of the light of the infinite creator because they've chosen the path of service to self. And in that path, you essentially have to embrace hatred of all things good, hatred of even the emotion of love. So So you have to hate love, you have to hate life, you have to hate light, you have to hate everything that's good. You even have to hate your fellow service to self, dark side companions, because that's just the philosophy that they live by, and that's the requirement to go down that pathway.
Okay. Now, some people say that that path requires an almost total commitment, like somewhere upward of, so let's say, 85% to 90% committed to service to self. That would mean completely there's no conscience, and from our perspective, from a human perspective, or from a light perspective, it would look to us like pure evil.
Correct.
And, okay. And that has to do with graduating or moving further along their evolutionary path, which can, as I understand it, can reach a certain level in as far as densities go, but they can have dominion to a certain point, but at some level, that evolution, it stops. There's no further place to go at that point.
That is my understanding of it as well. And the metaphor that I was shown is that let's say that we are the divine being that generated this universe, and we did so for the adventure of it, and that we fragmented ourselves into all of the forms that we see, so that everything here is one divine being.
Right.
But that divine being source is even greater than it. So, in other words, we have a parent. And so that one true source is allowing us to have this adventure because it's, of course, a loving, all-encompassing being.
Right.
But at the same time, just like a loving parent lets their child run around in the mud and play and get dirty, you've got to take your boots off before you come inside the house.
Right. Like,
and so we can, you know, we can have this illusion of turning against ourselves, essentially, is what the service to self path is. Turning against who we really are, and that can be played out through several densities, third, fourth, fifth, and sixth density, according to the raw material, which I think is about 80% accurate, in my opinion. You know, the ankle biters will try to hack into any type of channel transmission and disrupt it or insert distortions into it, but I think they did a good job at keeping that one quite accurate. And so after sixth density, when you're getting closer to the source, meaning us, our true self, the ultimate creator of this universe, as you're getting closer back to that one source, the negative path is no longer valid because there's no one left to subjugate. You can't go further through subjugation or taking or absorbing the life force energy of others. So at that point, you have to flip your polarity over to positive polarity, which acknowledges the oneness. And that's all that really the positive path is. Ultimately, we think of it as the path of love and the path of service to others, and all that is accurate because it recognizes that we are all from the same source. It's the law of one. We are one, even though we perceive other selves. We know that that self came from the same source that we did. And the acknowledgement of that leads a being to have compassion and ultimately love for everything else because it's the love of the one self.
Right. Nicely said. Nicely said. So one of the things that came up when you were talking about of the harvest of negative energy, which is clearly rampant through the various contrived wars and false flag events and so on and so forth. And it appears to be ramping up at this time. At least we're seeing it more. It's becoming more obvious. Is that it's also one of my guests, George Kavassalis, mentioned that there's a false light matrix that extends up to about the fourth density that is of love and light, and it's, you know, basically a duplicate of the ascended masters and light beings and the rest of it. And you mentioned this in your blog as well, and that they also feed off the worship through the various religions. All of that energy is also going up. So they're all, as I see it, there is a milking of our energy similar to the Matrix trilogy as it's shown as a metaphor, and that all of this worship and giving away of our energy and of movie stars and religious figures and so on is a similar kind of energy that we are literally giving them, and they must be milking us on every level imaginable. Is that also your perception of this?
Yes, because ultimately no being of light, no being of service to others wants to be worshipped at all. Because if you're of service to others, you want to help uplift someone else.
Right.
You don't want to stratify yourself above them and command them to worship you. That's the mindset of a selfish being, a service to self being.
Right, right.
And so, you know, when the Bible talks about Jehovah commanding worship, well, that would be a service to self-consciousness.
Right.
That was simply using advanced hyperdimensional technology to dazzle the humans, which at that point, those humans had already been shut down and their genetics altered many generations ago so that they couldn't really discern the difference between a truly loving God and a wrathful, punishing God. To them, it was all the same God. And so, you know, a really close study of the Bible and the different books will show different beings posing as the one God at different times. Sometimes it was, you know, fairly benevolent. Other times it was a very wrathful, very punishing being.
Right, right.
And it got all kind of lumped into the same thing because they couldn't tell the difference. All they knew was that it was a higher dimensional being that had way more power and perception than they did, telling them what to do. So they did what they were told.
Right. At this, at the third dimensional level, are there those who are there beings? I know that there are starseeds and light workers and incarnations from the various dimensions, higher dimensional realms, assisting. And then you can elaborate on that if you like. The question arises: are there those who are not ensouled, or who do not have a soul, or? You know, there's mention also of clones and robotics and projections and holograms and the rest of it. Is this kind of a mixed bag? Oh, and then ETs, of course. negative ETs. So we could throw that into the mix, too. Is that something that you perceive?
Yes. And that gets into kind of the mechanics of how planetary evolution works. So let's say that planet Earth had never been invaded. So every planet that supports life has templates for the animals and the beings that it will support and really cultivate, in a sense. And so the original human template was of a highly aware, multi-dimensional, multi-density enabled being. So the beings that could have a third density form yet be aware of fourth density and operate within fourth density at will. And that was going quite well until the disaster occurred. And then that disaster traumatized the survivors sufficiently to allow the infection of darkness on fourth density to get a toehold. because their awareness of fourth density diminished after that. They didn't have time or energy to spend on doing that as a group, and so it became more of a specialized talent, let's say, whereas before it was just the norm.
Mm-hmm.
And so every planet is essentially growing souls, growing unique individuated beings who have experienced third density, who then move up into, let's say, completely into fourth density once they're done with the third density realm. And then they move up through the densities all the way back into the oneself. Mm-hmm. And that's the adventure that we're having with ourselves here in this one singular universe,
okay.
of a singular being projecting all of this.
Okay.
So when a being is first grown out of the planetary soul, it doesn't yet have an individuation. It's developing that sense of self. And through the course of its life, when its third density incarnation is completed, when that body wears out, which is supposed to take generally 200 to 300 years, is the original template was. So you had plenty of time to gain a tremendous amount of knowledge and wisdom and compassion and all of the key things that you need to crystallize or catalyze an individuated soul. And then at the end of that incarnation, you got to choose if you wanted to continue another couple of rounds in third density to maybe gather more experiences or more wisdom, or perhaps move strictly into fourth density and operate from that level. And that's how souls are essentially grown on planets. And I have a blog post about this entitled, Are There Soulless Beings in Human Society?
Ah, great.
Now,
wonderful.
What's happened, though, is that the fourth density environment of the planet has been completely taken over, or it had been completely taken over, filled with selfish service-to-self beings posing as ascended masters and as light beings and all of that.
Uh-huh.
And also posing as the lords of karma, so that at the end of a person's now very short life, very, let's say, stifled existence throughout their maybe 60 years or 70 to 80 years of life, where they weren't told anything that's true whatsoever for the most part.
Right.
When they got to the end of that, if they were a new soul, or what I call a candidate soul, if they were good and decent and had strived to actually be of service to others and follow really the only universal law that we need, which is don't harm others, if somebody was actually living that path, they would basically recycle them. They would put that soul back into the pool of soul energy that the Earth is generating.
Uh-huh.
And not really allow them to go on. Or, if they felt like it, they would let them continue to reincarnate in third density, but they would never let them into fourth density. They would just put them back on the path of reincarnation so that they could then utilize that soul energy. So they've either been, the dark forces have either been recycling back into essentially non-individuated energy, the souls that didn't fit their agenda, or just keeping souls trapped in essentially endless reincarnation over and over and over again in a third density environment that is highly chaotic.
Right.
So there are beings that are now what I would call candidate souls, and there always are, but in a properly functioning planetary sphere, those candidate souls are taken care of and guided and educated by the older and wiser, let's say, reincarnated souls who are in still doing third density experience.
Mm-hmm.
And they're taught how to be in alignment with universal law. Now, that's not happening anymore on this planet. Instead, people are taught how to adhere to various aspects of the service-to-self agenda. To essentially be selfish, to not care about their fellow humans or their environment or even themselves to a large extent. And now there are beings that are entirely committed to that path of service to self And like you mentioned, it does take tremendous dedication to do what we consider horrible things, things that we would never, ever consider doing and would want to immediately imprison somebody who was doing those things to other people.
Right.
So they live their lives on a daily basis very much committed to hurting others, to actively harming people on a daily basis, because that's part of their path. Because they want to get into fourth density, and then what's crazy, though, is that they'll be slightly elevated on the hierarchy, but they've been told that they'll become like gods. But in reality, they're going to have superiors above them in fourth and fifth density who are going to be treating them quite badly. And it's a very unpleasant path.
Right. So there's always a bigger fish on that side. I mean, it's logical that if control is the main goal of the individual's control of the energy, that there's always going to be somebody struggling to get to work their way up that path. And since there's no conscience and they're committed to that path, then they would be likely to be stabbing each other in the back constantly, unless there's some kind of a control system and fear or carrots being dangled. If you're a good dark worker, you too can raise up to the, to be a lord of the rings or something. So that makes a lot of sense. Now, we're seeing a lot of degradation on our planet today. It's so hard to sort through for most of us what's real and what's not real. And, of course, it is discussed that this is a projection and it's not real. But there's so much degradation going on with the frequencies, with chemtrails and genetic modification, the GMO foods, the wars, the fake murders that are established by the various agencies to frighten the frighten us to death and keep us off balance. And then, of course, you have the electronics and the technological controls that are being beamed from other places, possibly, the satellites of the moons. Saturn is said to have fake rings and so on and so forth. And that could take us down a very lengthy path, but how do people who are of the light, who are working towards a service to others or service to all, how can they begin to discern what's going on here and what is going on here? This is supposed to be the end of a 26,500-year cycle, and whatever that means. And some of us feel that this is a time of, that it could be, the whole game board could be reset, and the dark is supposed to, they're supposed to kind of clear out of here. And then other people are saying that the light is raising us up and we're in a photon belt and that the dark is going to have a very difficult time of maintaining this their control at this time. So what's your perception of all this? Maybe it's all true.
Well, I'd like to come back to how can people perceive for themselves.
Oh, you're right.
What is accurate. Because there's nuggets of truth in lots of things. And in fact, the best disinformation contains a lot of truth, but then it's framed in such of a way to create a certain belief system within that person that may be false or at the very least can keep them continuing to produce the low frequency energy. So, feelings of hopelessness, or it's all too big to come to be unraveled, and I'm just one little human, what can I do?
Right. Yes,
and
I know that one very well.
Yeah. And the thing that I recommend is getting connected. And what I mean by that is, what I mean by getting connected is connecting to your true self, or what I also call your higher self, and that is the you, the real you, outside of space and time.
Okay.
Sorry for these little technical difficulties. I think that should fix it. So the real you outside of space and time, meaning that your soul, as it stands now, is larger, more powerful, more connected to all there is than you can even imagine.
Mm-hmm.
So that's the first aspect to get connected to, is your true self. And it's not really higher, as in separated or above you, but rather it's inner. So another term I like to use is your divine inner self. And its true home is at the very core of your being, or at the heart center of your being.
Okay.
Now, getting to that can and does take some work, but you can simply acknowledge that it's there and open up to it through appreciation and gratitude, and just being grateful that who you really are is much larger than the single incarnation that you're experiencing right now.
Uh-huh, right.
And then from there, connect to the core of the planet, because the planet's inner divine self is an extremely powerful and loving being. And it wants to see humanity get back on its original intended path, because we're supposed to be the curators, so to speak, or the guardians of this planet.
Uh-huh.
That's why planets grow human beings, because they're very useful and very resourceful, powerful, and ultimately protective beings. We mm-hmm. can protect our planet from these outer forces, and we used to do that quite well, so we can get back there again.
Oh, okay.
And once you're connected to the core of the planet, and you've got an energy flow from your heart to the planet's heart, then connect to the core of the galaxy, the center of this galaxy, because every galaxy is a meta-creator. It's a conscious being. Just like mm-hmm. the planet is conscious, the star, the sun that we orbit around is conscious. Every mm-hmm. star in the Milky Way has consciousness, and the Milky Way itself has a singular consciousness to it that mm-hmm. is, let's say, residing at the very core of the galaxy. Now, science wants to say that there's a supermassive black hole, even though they can't really prove it, but it's a theory that they've been harping on. But it's not a black hole. It's a extremely powerful, concentrated source of light energy with tremendous electromagnetism that generates a gravitational field that holds this galaxy together. And eventually they're going to get there. The Electric Universe people are kind of leading the way in that deeper understanding that galaxies are electric and our universe is electric.
Mm-hmm.
So when you connect to that electromagnetic core of the galaxy, there's no lag, so to speak, of time that it takes to get from you to there, because you're already connected. Those lines of energy are already present. It's a matter of tuning into that being that I call the galaxy being, because it's a consciousness. It's a singular self. Just like every galaxy in this universe, it's teeming with galaxies. Each of those galaxies is a unique, individuated consciousness that's aware of their interconnectedness to every other galaxy and to the source of the universe.
Mm.
So that awareness is available for you and me and everyone to tap into. So when you tap into the core of the galaxy, it's kind of like tapping into your higher self, or maybe I should say your higher self, in a sense. Now, that's just a metaphor. Don't take that too literally.
Okay.
But it's a very vast consciousness. It's incredibly powerful, incredibly loving as well. To my knowledge, this galaxy wants to be very much free from the infection of darkness. because it's gotten a bit out of hand, especially on this planet and on a few other planetary systems as well.
Right.
But when you connect into that galactic core, that energy that comes into you is extremely powerful, and you can structure that energy around yourself, around your home. You can make pyramids, but I actually recommend making octahedrons, which is just another pyramid that's pointing down, forming a diamond-type shape. You make octahedrons and spheres around yourself, around your home, and organize that energy, that light that's flowing to you from the galactic core around yourself to create essentially a sacred space in your home. And then within your own personal energy fields, so that you're carrying that sacred space with you wherever you go. Now, there's too much energy to hold on to, so you then become a conduit for that energy by releasing it and letting it flow through you into the core of the planet as well. And so in that way, every human can act as a little antenna for that galactic energy to flow into the Earth.
Okay.
So you become what I call a galactic conduit when you do that.
Okay.
And that act on a daily basis, done with your conscious participation, begins to change and alter who you are and how you perceive yourself in the order of the universe, or at least within the galaxy. And you begin to see that you're much more than your individual life, yet you get to keep your individual life and do with it whatever you like and express your creativity in whatever ways you want, provided that you do not harm anyone else. And that's really, there's only one law that we need, which is don't harm anyone else. That's the law of one that acknowledges that we all come from the same source. We all are the same being, just experiencing itself in multiplicity.
Right. Wow. So, is there a force from the galactic core, or from our galaxy, or the galactic being? Is it working at this level to help those aspects of itself that are infected with the dark energy, or the, I guess that's what I want to say, yeah, but with the infection or the virus that is, that seems to be taking over and further enslaving life forms?
Yes, that's the short answer, absolutely. And if you think of the galaxy, or even the universe, as a living organism, and you can think of each galaxy almost as a cell within the universal organism, and the planets and stars as cells within the galactic body, and then humans as essentially cells of the planetary bodies. But of course, again, there's more like subsystems, so you could think of the planets and the stars kind of like organs of the galaxy. The biological metaphors break down a bit when you're talking cosmic scales, but the point of that is that the infection of darkness is met with an immune response. And that immune response is an infusion of light to kind of burn away the darkness, so to speak. Because just like a virus begins spreading itself and mutating other cells to then perpetuate its programming, that's what's been going on here. And so that virus is being actively mitigated by massive infusions of light. And what's happening at this moment in time is that the old grid layers, the multiple layers of dark constructs around this planet, have been largely broken down and removed, and those particular layers have been taken over by the forces of light, or what I call the forces of divine light. And these are the beings that are fully committed to the service to all path and to healing the infection of darkness on this planet. And so the situation that we have now is a planet that is completely encircled by light, but then on the inner part of the planet, within just now, basically the atmosphere and below the atmosphere, a thin circle of darkness that kind of the core of the virus as it's being compressed. And these beings also have bases, so to speak, underground, but they're operating in fourth density, so they don't have to build the structures the way that we think of them, although they do build structures. Uh-huh. Their structures tend to be more like matrices, like webs. They're quite chaotic in a sense, kind of like honeycombs or catacombs.
Uh-huh.
So this is where they're living right now, but there are also certain types of them live within the subconscious of human beings.
Uh-huh.
Because that's where the infection has to be rooted, is within the human subconscious.
Okay.
And so that's the situation as I see it right now, is the darkness is highly compressed. There's light also emanating from the planetary core, keeping them restricted as far as how far down into the planetary crust they can go. And then the light from outside is squeezing them down so that they can't have control over those outer layers like they used to. It used to be really hard to even get to the galactic core to bring that light in. You had to kind of punch a hole through 20 layers of darkness in order to get to the galactic core and anchor that energy in.
Mm-hmm.
And they would, of course, attack anybody as much as they could who was doing that. They're still attacking light workers, but it's a lot easier for people to meditate and tap into all of that light because it's just much more immediately available and much closer in to the planet now. So you're only having to kind of punch out of a few hundred feet, maybe a mile of dark smog, you know, that's right around the Earth to mm-hmm. tap into the light. And if you can build light structures around your home, the more you do that on a daily basis, the more you're essentially pushing back the darkness and anchoring in the light. And the more people that are doing that, the faster this infection will get cleaned up. But it does ultimately depend on how many people can tap into their own spiritual immunity and clear out the infection within their own subconscious minds.
Ah, right. Now we're getting down to the nitty-gritty here.
Yes.
So, there, as I see it, there's a collective human consciousness or unconsciousness, because we're not conscious. We're not fully conscious, as I see it. And we think we are, but we're not. So we're largely controlled but through the unconscious. And mm-hmm. that is the dark pool, or the pool that they can operate on or in. And that's where it gets down to the level of our own thinking our thought patterns, right? That
right.
When we have recurring tapes or anger or things that set us off that are continually taking us down a dark path, those to me seem to be like implants or dark energy that's working at the subconscious level.
Yes, so, I think that's a very accurate assessment.
Okay,
so then it becomes very important for each individual to become aware of how they're thinking, of how they've been programmed by society, by their parents who are programmed by their parents, who are programmed by their religions, and on, to look at that programming, to look at just how you think. Just close your eyes. Don't even try to meditate. Just become aware of how you're thinking,
mm-hmm.
of when your mind wants to go to judging somebody else or blaming someone else for the bad thing that they did to you in the past, and always looking for, let's say, an external target of anger. And there's no shortage of those on the planet.
Oh, right, right.
And, you know, you can get into, oh, well, yeah, I'm angry at the Illuminati, or, oh, I'm angry at the ankle biters for taking over this planet and all that kind of stuff.
Right.
The anger is...
That's part of the program. that's running.
Part of the programming. Now, there's a certain kind of anger. Like, there's no judgment of any level of emotion from the light's perspective, so that you can actually utilize anger within a certain context as long as it flows through you quickly and doesn't get stuck and become a default program.
Right. Okay.
Yeah, so, you know, there's... So I utilize anger when it's appropriate, you know, when that's the appropriate response. Most of the time, though, it isn't. Most of the time, there's more to the story than we think there is.
Mm-hmm.
So just getting angry and projecting that anger at someone or something or some idea, that actually binds us. But if we're using that anger maybe just in a, what I call divine destructive capacity, in light work, there's certain dark constructs that aren't living beings, they're not souls, they're like buildings or structures that the dark has built. And so destroying those is part of the process of the cleanup. Just like an immune response within the body, those white blood cells come and they munch up the virus, they destroy that virus.
Mm.
So those constructs are part of that virus. So there's no problem really utilizing that righteous anger in a moment, but then you let it go. So when you can become familiar with your interior and how your thoughts work and make notes, okay, well, you know, I tend to think in this pattern. I tend to get angry when I think about this person. I tend to blame that person for what they've done to me. I tend to get angry at myself for having made these particular mistakes, and my mind goes back there a lot. So you write all this down, and now you have a list of the things that you need to deprogram out of your mind.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
And then you get to work, and you start deprogramming. And as you get through the various layers of each program, because you're not going to just pull the entire program all at once. You're going to take a layer off, and then you're going to work on something else, and then work on something else. And you might come back to that same thing many different times, taking off a layer each time.
Right.
So that process of peeling the layers is very important. And I have a system that I call the self-clearing system on the website, and that's ascensionhelp.com. It's called ascension help, help.com.
Okay.
And it's kind of like basic training for energy clearing. And it's all free, the whole first level, and which is a fairly complete system, putting in as much detail as I could without being too overwhelming.
Right.
And it gives you the tools to begin peeling the layers of the illusions within your mind. Because, again, you're not who you think you are. You're much more than that. And the society has tried to tell you that you are something very different than what you are. You're not just a little human. You're not just a consumer. You're actually one of the creator's selves, let's say. Let's go back to that analogy.
Right. Right. And the creator, of course, being the loving, benevolent, and not the judgmental and the deceptive Wizard of Oz. Well, you know, this hour has gone by so quickly. You know, this is really important information, and we didn't get to say the A word. You know,
so do we have time?
Yeah, no, we're going to have to do another show together. That's all there is to it. Would you be willing to do that again?
Absolutely. Sure.
Okay, and your site is ascensionhelp.com, and Cameron, thank you so much for being on the show, and I want to find out more about making pyramids and octahedrons and stuff, so I'm going to be delving into that, too. So thank you very much for being on tonight, and we'll talk again soon.
All right. Thanks, Lance. It was a real pleasure.
All right. Me too. All right. Good night, everybody.